them into the playoffs. Lou City, they've got a bunch of new faces in 2024, but they're now down one of their stars. So what is our prognosis for Lou City this season? And we have a guest today, Racing Louisville's all-time leader in appearances. No one has played for the club more in their history. Lauren Millay is set to call in at around 6:20 ahead of this weekend's home opener for Racing Louisville. They take on the Orlando Pride at Lynn Family Stadium at 4 o'clock to kick off the NWSL season in 2024. Lou City, by the way, also in action, but they're on the road this weekend. It's a 3 o'clock kick for them out in West Texas against El Paso Locomotive on Saturday. I'm Jeff Milby. Benton Newman is here as well. Spencer Brown is the producer of today's exceptional program. First of all, Benton, it's a great time of year because soccer season is back.
Oh, I'm so excited. I needed the off season, but it got to a point where it just felt too long, and I was really craving for the soccer to come back. Then the news started really pumping in, and I'm eager for this weekend.
It feels like soccer season has been going on for 4 or 5 weeks because of all the
news. There's been a lot to digest.
There's been so much going on with both of these teams. Yeah. So many changes for both of these teams. New additions, players leaving, a new head coach, on and on and on and on. So lots for us to get into over the course of the hour. And you can join us as well, of course, on the text line 437-9680, 437-9680. Let's start here, Benton. What is your level of optimism for both teams? We'll get into each separately over the course of the show, but for both teams, how optimistic are you as we are on the doorstep for 2024?
Yeah, I'll start with Louisville City, since I think we're going to go more in depth in racing for the first part of this show. But for Louisville City, incredibly excited about what they can do. I feel like all the offseason signings really made sense with the vision that Coach Danny Cruz is trying to put together. I think there was a lot of lessons learned from last season, so I guess that's going to be kind of the silver lining for as uncomfortable as it felt for a period of time. The preseason's gone very well for the club in terms of performances. By and large, you know, we'll talk about a pretty significant injury later that's going to impact them. But it feels like a very complete team, and I would be shocked if it wasn't any sort of rebound from last season. And with that said, they still made the Eastern Conference Finals last season.
Yeah, but it still feels like a rebound this year, right? Because it just wasn't up to the standard, which we'll get into.
Yeah, and in terms of racing, very optimistic about them as well. I'm a big believer in Coach Bevianez. The players are very much bought in with her as well. I think the roster build kind of shows a step forward with the program, and I think this really is the year that they could be making the playoffs. I mean, they were very close last season, and I think they've made the right adjustments they needed to really put themselves in a prime position to go ahead and secure that for this season. But we'll see. We haven't really got to see a ton of this team in action aside from the Women's Cup. With the on the Louisville City side, I think there are a few preseason friendlies we got to witness.
Yeah, just a few more competitive games for Louisville City in this long, long preseason for both teams. They both traveled all over, right? Lou City went to Texas to face Austin. They went out to Arizona. Racing also went to Arizona. Then they went down to Colombia in South America for a little Women's Cup tournament that you alluded to, Benton. So it's been a long preseason for both teams. Let's get into it with Racing, like you talked about. Bevianez, the new head coach this year. First year for her as a head coach. She was an assistant on the team last year under Kim Bjorkgren, a longtime player in this league, a former league MVP finalist. She has a resume that everyone around the league respects. And when Racing Louisville announced that she was going to be the head coach, plaudits from everybody. Everybody was impressed with the hiring. Everybody said it was the right hiring. Observers of the league, media members of the league, fans of the team, fans of the league, just about everybody gave it the nod of approval. So therefore, the question becomes, is she the difference for this team? Is she a new head coach and a head coach that everybody respects and expects to do well? Is she what pushes this team into the playoffs that have eluded them over their first three seasons?
Yeah, what I'm most optimistic about her is that I have zero doubt in my mind that she's not going to get 100% of the capabilities of this roster, right? Like, you can tell when you listen to the players talk about her and what's going on with the program now, they're very much bought in. So I don't think there's going to be any concerns on that front. I think there might be a little bit of growing pains early on as far as, you know, the getting all the new pieces together, the new playing style, Bev just getting her feet under her being a head coach. I think it really does help that she was here for a whole entire year prior to, maybe not fully in charge, but it's not like she's totally in a completely brand new situation. But, you know, I think after that early period, if that's even necessary or needed or happens, I think that they're going to be a pretty solid team.
Yeah, look, the first thing that I talked about it just a second ago, but Jalen Howell, the team's captain, said this in a preseason press conference right out of the gate with her when she was asked about Bevyana as the word respect came out, that it's that much easier to get buy-in from the team because everybody respects her, where she comes from, what her career was like, the work that she puts in and put in over the course of her career, but puts in now as a coach. Everybody in the team seemingly was excited to have Bevyana as the head coach. So the buy-in is already there. The question will be, will there be bumps in the road for a first-year head coach going through a season for the first time as the boss? I mean, it's a big difference going from the first chair as the assistant sliding over to the head coach's chair, because now suddenly everybody's looking to you to make decisions. They're not looking to you for help. They're looking to you to make decisions and be the boss of the situation. That's a big responsibility and a big learning curve for anybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care how successful your career has been and how much respect you have. That's a different pressure, and it'll be interesting to see, like you talked about, over the early parts of the season, how she handles that, whether there are mistakes. Surely there will be, right? Everybody makes mistakes in a new gig, in a new job. But how do they figure it out over the first couple of weeks? And then by mid-season, do they get it rolling in the right direction?
And I mean, I think she's already kind of stepped up to the plate, not been afraid to make decisions like that. I mean, the easy thing for her to do would have been to really kind of kept things, I guess, pretty much how they were to end like last season in terms of playing style, philosophy, etc. But she's already been pretty open about her plans on changes of things. One component she's really interested in is having more possession. She wants more fluidity with the possession play. And one example I'll point out is Carson Pickett. As an outside back, she's used to getting kind of up and down the flanks a little bit, but it felt like she was kind of restricted versus what we've seen from her in the past when she was with North Carolina. But now, in the very small sample size we got to see of her, she was getting up and down a lot more and even kind of float more centrally. So I guess they have a little bit more creative freedom there to get involved a bit more. And there's also a lot of versatility with the roster as well. All the players, except for Abby Ersig and the goalkeepers, can play more than one position. And I think that's I really appreciate when a roster is built in a really smart and intelligent way where you can shift individuals around to different spots and really kind of mix up what you're trying to accomplish. I think it really makes it hard for the opposition to plan against you.
Yeah, let's talk about that roster and kind of recap the offseason, how we arrived here for Racing Louisville. A couple of big departures. Timbi Kotlana, the South African international who played at the World Cup, really feels like she never played for Racing Louisville, if I'm being honest, because she had that injury that kept her out for an entire year, then came back, went to the World Cup, missed time for international tournaments. You saw a few glimpses of her talent in a Racing Louisville jersey, but never really got to put it on display over a long length of time. But Racing's able to spin her in a deal in the offseason for a big fee, big money coming into the league, coming into the club. Honestly, a positive development for the team. Look, she would have been phenomenal if she came back, but to get that kind of fee that they reportedly got for her, that's a big deal.
Yeah, she was like instant lightning as far like for Racing. Her speed just really captivated a lot of fans. So when she did depart, there were a lot of disappointed people, but it was life-changing money she got. She secured the bag, as the kids would say. And in terms of Racing Louisville, I think they got, almost $300,000 on a transfer for her. So I think they did, if you're going to lose her, they did pretty well in doing so.
And then the other big loss, Paige Monahan, another attacking player, similar position. Great production, a great person in the locker room. We interviewed her on the show last year a couple of times, just a really quality person. She got picked up in the expansion draft. A couple of new teams coming into the league this year. Bay coming out in the Bay Area. They're going to play in San Jose next year, technically. And then Utah coming back into the league, the Utah Royals. And she got picked up in the expansion draft. You know, it's just kind of the way of the land. It is what it is. You can't do everything to protect all your players. Racing did get protection from Bay in the draft. Couldn't get protection from Utah. And it just is what it is. It's unfortunate to the loser, but that's part of the price of doing business in the NWSL.
Yeah, I mean, I think people's frustration frustrations around that one is more so around the concept of the expansion draft even existing, more so than it was in terms of racing and their preparations for that. Like, I mean, they had a very limited list of individuals they could select. I remember you and I, we were trying to put together our own list, and it's hard, right? Like, there's always somebody on the outside of that short list that you want to include of players you want to protect, and she was one of them. But she was just named captain for Utah today, so
doesn't surprise me at all.
So I'm glad things seem to be going well for her, and she has a neat opportunity ahead of her. But I'm sad that her journey with racing has already ended.
Let's get into the positive stuff, the exciting stuff, the additions to the team. I think the biggest headline addition was a trade just before preseason started that brought in Taylor Flint, formerly known as Taylor Korniak, a U.S. women's national team midfielder. Been a regular with the national team, not every camp, but has had her appearances with the women's national team, a top quality player to say, to just say the least. She comes in a deal, automatically, I think, becomes a starter on this team just based on her profile, based on her experience. I think the biggest headline acquisition in the offseason for Racing Louisville, how do you think she slots into this team? What does she bring to the team? What are you expecting to see? What do you want to see? What are you excited about?
Yeah, I mean, she reinforces a strong midfield. I'm really excited to see how she complements and plays alongside the likes of Jalen Howe and Savannah DeMello. One thing that was pointed out to me, I didn't immediately connect the dots on this one. It was by my co-host Zach on the our Vamos Marauders podcast. She's tall. She's over 6 foot tall. And, you know, before we had Abby Irsig getting a lot of headers in, now you have another option on set piece play. So I'm really curious if they're going to be leaning into her height there and see if maybe we can get some more goals happening on those set piece play. But ultimately, I think the thing is that the flexibility and the depth of the midfield, I think there's a lot of talent there. You're going to have people get injured. You're going to have international duty. Other things are going to come up. So it's nice to know that there's an abundance of talent in that portion of the field.
Yeah, Taylor Flint listed at 6'1", will definitely, you would expect, be an aerial threat.
She looks every bit of it, too.
She absolutely looks every bit of it. And you talked about the versatility of the roster, players playing multiple positions. I wouldn't be altogether shocked if at some point in the season they throw her, maybe even just over the course of a game where they're down a goal or two, they need to really throw everybody forward. If she doesn't go play as a center forward and just use her big frame to hold the ball up and attack balls in the air and see if she can be an aerial threat for this team.
I'm not writing that off.
That's one of the big questions that we have for this team, right, is who's going to be the goal scorer? Who's going to be the number nine? Who's going to be the player that lines up as a center forward and just gets chance after chance after chance to put goals into the back of the net? I'm not sure that has really been answered in the preseason. You've got options there, right? Uchenna Kanu, the Nigerian international who came over in a big fee, never really lived up to it last year. Another chance for her to prove herself this season. They've got Raylan Turner, the top selection for racing in the offseason's draft. She's an option up there. But that's probably the biggest hole right now, in my opinion, in the roster, is who's going to be the goal scorer? Who's going to be the center forward? Who's going to be the player that leads the line at the top of the formation?
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest lingering questions for racing. I mean, there's several players there. It's kind of more so who's going to step up for that. I'm really keen on Kirsten Davis, now Kirsten Wright.
Yep.
I'm really hoping that this is a big breakout campaign. I know late last season she was doing really well. And, you know, I know personally I was a bit disagreement at the lack of playing time she was getting. Nadia Nadim seemed to be favored at that time. You also, we have the likes of, we haven't talked about her yet, Linda Malotho. Did I say that
just
correctly?
Just Linda. Let's just go with Linda. That's what she's
going
to go by.
Yeah, I mean, Tembi's teammate on the international level. And
yeah,
I think
for
she
South
was,
Africa, yeah.
Yeah, and I think she was kind of viewed as Tembi's sort of replacement. So I'm going to be curious to see how quickly she can get up to speed. And we have several younger players, too, that could also be in that mix. Raylan Turner was our top draft pick for racing. I know she's been seeing some action and been doing really well.
Yep.
Emily Sears
scored a goal in the preseason as well.
Yeah, Emily Sears apparently set the speed record during training camp. So I'm really excited to see how that translates onto the pitch. See if we have another kind of like Timby-like presence whenever she enters. So I think that spot is kind of, you know, at least from our perspective, open for the taking on who's going to be the one banging those goals, and whoever think does it first is going to be the one that will be starting regularly.
Yeah, it's definitely got a healthy competition, and that's one of the things that's exciting about this team is now they have some serious depth in a lot of places, right? Think about the midfield. We talked about Taylor Flint coming in. You've got Jalen Howell, a player in her third year now, on the rise as a defensive midfielder. Savannah DeMello, we talk all the time about her. Superstar, went to the World Cup for Team USA, a really talented attacking midfielder. Ari Borges, who may or may not be injured right now based on what happened with Brazil in the Gold Cup. Where does she play? Does she play in the midfield? Does she play out wide where she plays for Brazil? Lots of options, lots of versatility for Bev Yanez to try and figure out. I mean, it's on one hand a good thing because you have options. On another hand, maybe it's a good problem to have because you're forced to make some decisions as a head coach. And this is where I go back to what I was saying about her being a first-year head coach. Now suddenly she's the person making the calls on who plays and who doesn't play. She's mm-hmm. the person saying who travels, who doesn't travel. It's a difficult job to be in when you're coming from an assistant coach where everybody just went to you for help, went to you for advice, went to you to say, hey, how can I improve? Now she's the one making those decisions. So that's what I mean, the speed bumps I'm talking about as a first-year head coach. But lots of reasons for optimism. One thing you mentioned, Kirsten Davis, now Kirsten Wright, she goes from KD to K-Dub, right? Very easy nickname.
Yeah,
transition
we gotta stick with that
for her.
We had three players with name changes this offseason. I don't know. That just seems irregularly high.
Who's the third? I'm forgetting. We talked about Taylor Korniak.
Korniak's now Flint. Davis is now Wright, and there is definitely one more. Marissa, the girl from Houston.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Why am I blinking?
I am too. Let's move on.
We're rusty. This is our first show.
It doesn't feel like it, does it? So in terms of the outlook for the season, what do you think some goals for this team are? Obviously the number one goal, the only goal that matters, the thing everybody's talking about this team. You and I talked about it ad nauseum last year that this team has so much talent, they deserve to be a playoff team. Based on talent alone, they're a playoff team. Based on talent alone, I think they're a top three or four team in the league if they play anywhere near their potential. So that's got to be goal number one, is to get this team into the playoffs, right?
Oh, yeah. I agree with the playoff component. Absolutely.
You don't think they're one of the top four teams in the league based on talent alone? They've got that kind of payroll, reportedly, right? They're one of the highest paid teams in the league, reportedly.
Maybe the lower end of that spectrum.
Fair enough.
If I'm being completely honest, I would love to be wrong. I want them to win it all, get all the points. But I mean, realistically, it's I think they can get in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be kind of floating at the top of the pack.
I agree with that. But I think on talent alone, there's an argument. Anyway, we don't have to dive into that. Another thing that I think would be a goal for this team is to just simply score more. We'll say this about Lou City later, too. Both teams last year struggled to score. 25 goals in the regular season for Racing Louisville. Second fewest in the league. Never mind the Challenge Cup. They've thrown the Challenge Cup out the window. They've thrown it in the trash, so none of those numbers even matter if you're trying to assess how 2023 went for Racing Louisville, despite their successes in that tournament. Just on the basis of the regular season, they struggled to score goals. That's got to improve. It's got to be something that ticks upward. Like we said, we don't know who's going to be that top lead-the-line number nine center forward goal scorer just yet. But somebody's got to step up in the goal-scoring department if this team wants to pursue its goal of making the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I would just at least like them to find some sort of consistent avenue to kind of find success in that spot. So even if it isn't kind of from open play, like really lean into the whole like set-piece component now that you got quite a bit of height at your disposal there. So, I think a lot of that really is going to be determined on how things pan out with that number nine position. And again, for my money, I'm really banking on Wright to step up.
One of the other things I'm looking forward to seeing how this pans out of the course of the season, can they improve defensively from the standpoint of not necessarily giving up goals, but giving up chances? Because Katie Lund has been a busy, busy, busy goalkeeper the last couple of years. 2 years ago, 112 saves, a league record for a single season. Last year, she was second in the league with 88 saves. And while it's a great thing to have such a talented goalkeeper back there, it's not a good sign that she's being forced to make so many saves over the course of the season, right? You want her to be a little bit less busy because that means you're giving up fewer shots. That means you're controlling the game a little bit more. That means you're having more possession, which is something Bev Yanez has talked about this year. So that's one other key thing that I'm looking for this season.
Yeah, and I think the acquisition of Erin Wright is going to really help her on that. For those not familiar, Erin Wright is a Kentucky native, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe she is a UK alum, played on their team as well. Longtime player with Chicago. We acquired her this offseason. offseason. I know a lot of fans were really eager to get her on our roster one way or another, just knowing she was a Kentucky native. Now she's on the team. She brings a lot of experience to that back line to also complement the likes of Abby Ersig. You got Carson Pickett, Lauren Millay, who we'll be speaking with shortly, certainly still in the mix there. So I think, like, year over year, the back line talent has been continuing to increase, and I think we saw that in our, you know, the expected goals against number from Racing from the season prior to last year, starting to trend the right direction.
So
I'm hoping that continues.
Well, it's a good place to pause and a good place to transition to the second segment, because we're talking about the back line. A member of that back line, Lauren Millay, is going to call in and be our first guest of the season here on Soccer City. Soccer season starts this weekend. Racing and Lou City in action on Saturday. Lauren Millay is our guest coming up next.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're listening to Soccer City on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, back to the latest on Louisville's professional soccer club.
Welcome back. We're getting set for the first weekend of the season. Season openers for both teams, Racing Louisville and Lou City. Racing at home against the Orlando Pride at 4 o'clock at Lynn Family Stadium. And one of the players that will be suiting up for Racing in that game, joining us now, Lauren Millay, the all-time appearance leader in club history, is our guest. What's up, Lo?
What's up? Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate it, as always. We'll start easy and very general. Obviously, it's a very exciting time of the year. I mean, you guys kicked the season off on Saturday. I know it's been a long grind of a preseason. So how are you feeling? How's the team feeling heading into this season opener?
Yeah, it's kind of like Christmas time for us, honestly. obviously, preseason, it's long, but I feel like you've obviously been introduced to some new things with Bev at the helm, and I feel like we're all really excited to get started, and I think everyone's just really excited to put their stamp on this season and get going.
Now, speaking of Bev, I mean, obviously, you know, she has all of her tactical changes she wants to imply, and then you have a handful of new teammates as well. Can you talk to us about how the lead-up to this season's been different from other seasons? Because you've been here since day one, so, I mean, you've seen it all here.
Yeah, no, I've definitely, you know, been here for a hot minute for sure. I'm really excited. I think the style of play that she wants to implement is really exciting and a style that everybody genuinely really likes to play. And I think with the new players that she's brought in and the technical staff she's built, I think it's honestly flowed really seamlessly. And I think it's been really fun to kind of see, like, the evolution of the group just even through preseason. Obviously, like, we'll continue to get better and better as the season goes on. But it's been really fun to see, like, her implement her ideas with us. And even just, like, the introduction of the technical staff, I think everybody's really excited about that as well. And, we're pretty pumped, honestly.
So from my perspective, this even goes back to last season when Bev was still the assistant coach. It seems like all the players were very excited about her and very bought in. I guess, can you talk to us about her style and kind of what makes her kind of such an attractive coach, like, to work under?
Yeah, I mean, obviously she's played in the league, and I think she's garnered a lot of respect just in that regard. So I think having a coach that has played in this league and understands the dynamics of the league is really attractive and I think, in my opinion, really important. And I think she obviously understands just the style of play that this league has kind of been built around, which I think a lot of people would say is, like, fairly transitional. So I think understanding that as well coming in is really important. And then creating a style that suits the players that you have, I think she's done a really good job of bringing players in that suit the style of play that she wants to play. And I think she's obviously very, very intelligent, very humble, down to earth, but like, honestly, her plus our entire staff is some of the hardest working people I know. And I think that that always will create a trickle down effect into your team. And I think that that's honestly the most attractive part of playing for a coach like that, is you know what she's asking of you is what she's asking of herself.
Obviously, a lot of changes in the offseason as well, with new faces coming in, a couple of faces departing, like we mentioned. But let's talk about the new faces coming in. Run us through some of the newcomers that you've been excited about and that the team has been excited about, and maybe who stuck out to you and how have they gelled coming into the team? Because you guys are such a close-knit group. That's what everybody said last year, and it's clear watching you guys on the field how close you are. So how has the group welcomed some of these new faces into the team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I love that you say that we are a close group, because I genuinely believe, like, if you ask anyone, we would say the same thing. Even from an outside perspective, I know, like, Erin, when she came in, was like, yeah, you guys are, you're a really tight-knit group, and you can kind of tell that from the outside as well. So she's been a player we've all, you know, kind of really loved, and we love that she's home playing in her home state. Obviously, Linda has come in. Alexa, honestly, there's so many good players that have come in that, and even our rookies like Raylan and Emma, I think, you know, we just have such a fun mix of players right now. And I think we have a good mix of youth and veteran presence that will be a fun blend for us this year. And I think like everybody brings a little bit of something different, which I think, you know, levels us up for sure.
I can't hold back from asking this one anymore. I know last season you guys got so close to making the playoffs. How confident are you of this being the year that Racing is in the playoff picture?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we want that. I don't think that there's any denying that any team, any player in this league is going to want, you know, to make the playoffs, to make the hardware, like to have that hardware. And I think, you know, we're setting ourselves up now to absolutely have that within reach. And I think that, you know, the work we've put in preseason is definitely like going to catapult us through the season. And I think, you know, we have a deep roster and we're a quality side. So I'm excited. I think that we could definitely be a dark horse for a lot of people, which I'm excited about.
We're talking with Lauren Millay of Racing Louisville ahead of their season opener on Saturday against the Orlando Pride at Lynn Family Stadium. Let's talk about that game. Let's talk about the season opener. Talk about Orlando. What are you expecting? What are you guys planning for in terms of the game on Saturday? What should fans maybe look for as a key as they watch this season opener in just a couple of days?
Yeah, I feel like it's Brazil versus the U.S.
Yeah, yes, yes.
they've had a lot of turnover and a lot of new faces, so I think even last year they had a lot of dangerous attackers and a quality back line, so I think it's definitely going to be a battle. I think a lot of it is going to be driven by, you know, that midfield and frontline presence, getting 1v1 and attacking. But I think that it'll be a really fun matchup. And I'm honestly genuinely really excited to see, you know, their style of play and all the new players. Because I think this year has been, with the two expansion teams, it's going to be really interesting, a lot of player movement. But I think it will be really exciting. It should be a really good game. So definitely come out and watch. It'll be great.
And then, on the other hand, how nice is it to start at home? I know you guys are going to turn around and have a couple of games away when you go to Houston, you go to Portland, but it's got to be nice to get the season started at home where you're comfortable, you sleep in your own bed the night before, you don't have to travel over the course of the weekend. It just seems like that's the perfect place to propel you guys forward as you try and achieve your goals this year.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, obviously, there's always home field advantage, and I think we've made Lynn Family Stadium a really hard place to play. Kudos to the fans last year as well. I think, you know, it is a really hard place to play, and we're excited. I think you always want to be home, right? You want to be with your home fans. You want to be in your home bed. But I think, honestly, we didn't have that. Obviously, we were away last year, so I think having a home game this year to start off our campaign is perfect.
That home game coming up on Saturday at 4 o'clock at Lynn Family Stadium, Louisville against Orlando. Lauren, Lo, thanks for taking some time. Thanks for talking to us. Let's do it again sometime down the road this season, and good luck on Saturday. Good luck the rest of the way this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Love to see everyone out there cheering for us this Saturday, for sure.
That's Lauren Millay taking some time to talk to us here on Soccer City. And yeah, to her point, home opener, there's going to be excitement. There's going to be juice on the field. Let's hope there's excitement and juice off the field in the stands. You know it will be. And the weather looking pretty okay, right, Benton? I haven't checked the weather in the last couple of hours.
No, it looks good, especially since it's like an earlier kickoff time. I think around kickoff it's going to be like around 60 degrees, which I'll take it. You know, I'm totally good with that.
Yeah, last year's home opener was dreadfully cold, I remember.
Yeah.
But not going to be the case this year. So it's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday. A very winnable game, right? 9 meetings between these two clubs. 3 wins for Racing Louisville all time in the series. Also with 3 draws in the series, if my memory serves. They've had some success against Orlando. So this is not... It is a difficult test because every team in the league is difficult, right? There's so much parity in the league, but it's a really winnable game, I'll say, for Racing Louisville to just get off on the right foot and entertain the fans right out of the gate.
Yeah, if you asked me to pick a team in the NWSL, they would probably be on that list as far as teams I'd want to kind of face off with first. I think it's a game that we can win. If you remember back to last season, the last time we met them was in October. It was that thrilling 3-2 win that kept Racing in the playoff picture and essentially knocked them out, where eventually we finished in 9th and they finished in 10th. So they they might have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder from that one. But, I mean, I'm hoping that this match is as exciting as that last meeting was.
All right, we're going to close our Racing Louisville talk. And I'm going to hit you with one question, kind of what you hit Lauren Millay with. Are they going to make the playoffs this year? In your gut, what are you feeling? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
I think so, too. I think it's too much talent. They were too close last year, especially. Reasonably close the year before as well. I think it happens.
Yeah, I mean...
And especially in this league, right? There's so much turnover in the NWSL from year to year. You can see a team go from champion to last place, a team go from last place to champion. The fact that Racing has been so consistent in where they've finished in the standings is actually a little bit strange compared to the way the league is built. So I think they have to make the playoffs this year, right?
Considering last season how close they were, and again, like in all pretty much all conceivable aspects, I feel like the team has moved forward. They have grown stronger in a more complete team that I'm feeling more comfortable in that assessment. So let's see if that holds true.
Yeah, let's see. It'll start on Saturday. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Lou City. We've barely dove into them so far. So much to talk about from the Lou City offseason and a hugely important season. Year 10. Can you believe that? Year 10. Season 10 for Lou City is on tap on Saturday as they go to West Texas to face El Paso. We'll get all into that when we come back. Soccer City on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
You're locked on Soccer City, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, back to the latest on Louisville's professional soccer club.
Welcome back. We've got about 20 minutes to go. We're with you till the top of the hour. That's 7 o'clock here on Soccer City. We've not even gotten into Louisville City FC yet. Their season opens on Saturday as well in what is effectively week 2 of the USL year. They got a bye in week 1. They were off when everybody else started the year last weekend. They take on El Paso Locomotive out in Texas. It's a 3 o'clock Louisville time kickoff for that one. You can hear it here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. A lot of excitement around this Louisville City team as well, despite the struggles last year, and it was a struggle. Let's not kid ourselves. Just because they made a run to a 9th Eastern Conference final, was it an acceptable season? I think it was, but by any measure, it was the worst season Louisville City had put together in their 9 years. Now we turn ahead to year 10. Danny Cruz makes a number of changes to the roster. Several big names have left, but several big names have come in, and there are lots of reasons for optimism around the Louisville City camp. But one reason to not be optimistic is the big news that came out earlier this week after the preseason finale against Knoxville last week. Brian Onby is injured. It is an injury that will require surgery. That's all they're saying about it, is that it will require surgery. Danny Crews, the head coach, in his press conference said that he'll leave it to Brian to talk about more details about the injury, how severe it is, how serious it is. But what we can say, I think comfortably, Benton, is that if it requires surgery, he's going to be out for a while. The team's communications did say that the rehabilitation will be lengthy. That is their term, lengthy. Point being, Brian Onby is going to be missing for a long time, and on paper, that is a huge, huge problem for Louisville City because he's been such a success. He's been the star of the team for 7 years now. He's been the number 10 for 7 years now. He has been the one of the heart and souls of this team for such a long time. It's just a tough one to swallow, a tough pill to swallow for Louisville City fans.
Yeah, first and foremost, my thoughts go out to Brian. He seemed very primed to have a killer season, was going to be the captain. I think there was a lot of excitement there for this to happen in the second half of the last preseason match before the regular season. Like that makes it sting that much more, and it's already, you know, it already sucks, right? I was at the media availability, and I was trying to get more information about it since the release was vague, and I feel like the response was a little elusive on that information. So they're keeping the cards close to their chest, but I'm not expecting him anytime soon. I think, yeah, like you said, surgery. Like he's going to be out for quite a while. So you got to plan without him. He does have a history of injury problems. So I like to think that there was always kind of a plan B in the cards in the mix. But when you look at this full roster, though, I still have a ton of confidence, even with Onby out of the equation.
I don't disagree with that, but let's just hang on Onby for just one more minute.
All right.
33 years of age for Onby. Been a pro a long time, been around the league a long time, got a lot of miles on those legs. It's a leg injury that requires surgery. I think it's a legitimate question to ask, is this the last we've seen of Brian Onby?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair question, given his talent, though. If he has the desire to return next season, I still think that there's a role for him. Even if we do not think that he's a regular starter caliber at the age of what would he be, like 34?
He'll be 34 come next season.
So, I mean, even if we do not feel that he's regular starter, I still think there's a role for him, like, you know, being like an off the bench presence. But honestly, with his speed profile, I love that idea.
He'll be 34 in July. So next season, assuming, let's just say it takes most of this season to rehab the injury. If he comes back at the end of it, he would be 34. But then next season, he would be 34, turning 35 midway through the year. I agree with you. There's definitely a role for him on the team. But it is just such a shame, considering Danny Crews said he was in maybe the best shape that he had seen him in coming into the season since he came here, Crews, talking about Brian Onby. So it's a huge disappointment to have it come in the preseason finale. Danny Crews mentioned that he didn't think that – he thought the tackles were terrible in that game against Knoxville. He was very frustrated with the way Knoxville was playing in that game, considering it was the last preseason game. It's kind of – look, you don't want to go all out in the last preseason game. What are you doing? And it's just a bad situation. But there are some plan B options. There are some guys. So the question now becomes, who steps up in Brian Obi's absence? Who's the guy that kind of takes over his role on the team? There's going to, both in terms of his production, positionally, where they'll play, but also his presence in the locker room, his presence on the field. So many times last year, the older guys, right, Paolo Del Piccolo, who retired in the offseason, by the way, Brian Onby, were the competitive drivers of that team emotionally. And so that'll be just as much of a loss, I think, on the field as much as his production. So the question becomes, who fills those voids, both production-wise and emotionally?
I got several thoughts there. The first being, you mentioned Paolo Del Piccolo. I thought about this fact today. Like, I knew it, but just phrasing it this way just really hit me. This will be the first this upcoming game will be the first game that Louisville City has played without Paolo Del Piccolo on the roster since 2015, their starting season.
Yeah.
Like phrasing it that way just hits me that much harder about it. So, you know, anyway, Paolo had a heck of a run.
Absolutely.
But that just, man, just, you know, 10 years. Wow. It's wild. You know, as far as replacing Brian Ombi, though, I'm glad you brought that up, because I am now formally accepting applications to the Adrian Perez fan club.
Oh,
I
am all, are you the president?
I am.
You all own property on Adrian Perez Island, do you?
Oh, I bought that stock so low. Like, I'm ready
to
ride.
You're building a condo on the beachside on Adrian Perez Island.
Yeah, diamond hands to the moon. Like, just, yeah, invest in that
one. Okay, tell us about it. Why are you so excited about Adrian Perez coming over from San Diego?
He's a dynamic winger. He has a lot of great experience. He was at the MLS level for quite a while. And guess what? The only reason that really ended is because he had a bad injury of his own. He has since rebounded from that. He had a great season with San Diego, but to be completely honest, I feel like his performance with them last year kind of flew under the radar. So as soon as we picked him up and I was really kind of learning what he's about, I'm like, man, Nick, you could not have found a better like fit for what Coach Danny Cruz wants to have within the system. And especially like, especially with Brian Ombi now out of the mix, I think that only increases the opportunity for Adrian Perez to have a strong impact on this team. So I am really looking forward to him. He was like, I mean, aside from, you know, Ordonez was obviously in a gigantic signing of its own.
Like, we'll get into that in just a second.
Yeah, obviously, probably the marquee one. But
there were a couple of marquee ones, really.
To me, the one we'll look back at and say, wow, what an absolute coup. What a steal will be Adrian Perez.
I love this take because I think that it is absolutely under the radar, right? He was a guy that you know,
people are not excited enough about this one.
Ordonez got all the headlines. Davila got some headlines because he was an all-league midfielder. But Adrian Perez, you talked about his MLS experience. Played for LAFC 21 games, played for DC United for a couple of years, then comes down to the USL, was a regular starter last year for San Diego, scored 10 goals. He's in his prime. Yeah. He's 28 years old. It's just a perfect addition. He's a guy that's hungry to succeed, right? Coming from a team that folded at the end of last year. Now it comes to what is basically the biggest team outside of MLS in America in Lou City. He's going to be primed to have a big year.
And think about it this way, and this is just kind of how the league works. Like, there's a lot of preference to younger players, right? So Adrian Perez is with DC United. He gets injured. He's like, what, like 26, 27 about at the time? Because I think he's like 28 now.
Yeah,
he's
28
now,
yeah.
Like, and so he just really, I mean, kind of probably just fell out of favor. They found another option. They just stuck with him. And you got to think there's got to be a little bit of a chip on the shoulder, right? Like, if you're an athlete, you want to play at the highest level possible. He got an injury and essentially was kind of denied that opportunity and goes kind of steps down a level, kills it at San Diego.
And succeeds, right?
Yeah, doesn't get the credit he deserves. So what does he do? He goes signs with the biggest dang club in this league, us, and is ready to go raise some trophies and make some of these MLS teams regret letting him kind of slip between their fingers. So I'm, again, all in on this one.
Well, let's just go ahead and get into the other signings before we move on to some other questions and talking points about Louisville City, because it was such a big offseason in terms
of...
A lot of movement, which was needed. We talked about it last year. This team was disappointing. They still went to the conference final, but they were disappointing. Changes needed to come. Yeah. New blood needed to come into the team. They've got plenty of it. Arturo Ordonez was the marquee signing of the offseason, the reigning league defensive player of the year. I mean, if you need to sign a defensive player, you can't do any better than the league's defensive player of the year. Coming over from Pittsburgh, which we know the way that they defend, the way that they limit goal scoring chances for their opponents under Bob Lilly. He's coming from that system where he was hugely successful, expected to be a leader and a starter from day one for this Louisville City team. A hugely exciting signing, even as a defender, right? He's not a guy that's going to catch headlines because of the way he scores goals, but he could be transformative to how this team plays.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I was hyping up Adrian Perez, I don't want to overshadow Ordonez because he is a killer signing as well. I know Coach Danny Cruz is very excited about him, particularly his leadership qualities that he brings. Danny puts a lot into the mental side. I mean, this dude's the real deal. I've seen him play a couple times on these preseason games. I mean, he's exactly what you want, and I think adds some like pretty incredible depth to the back line. And another funny thing I noticed is at one of the preseason games is that at Thurman Hutchins, it's a lot closer than you would be in a normal stadium context. He was running after a ball and just lets out this primal yell as he's going for it. And I was just taken aback by it. I thought it was, you know, it was awesome. And I was talking to a player on the team. He's like, oh yeah, he does that. So I'm just looking forward to him just like running full speed at the ball and just like yelling and just startling an opponent.
And that might be more than his skill, more than his ability. That might be the biggest thing that he brings to the team. You talked about the mental aspect of it, the emotional aspect of it. Danny Cruz was open about that at the beginning of the season, the way that he he went and changed up his interview process, right, when he was trying to recruit players in the offseason, how he talked to them, the questions he asked them, because he wanted to find guys who were fighters, wanted to find guys who were competitors. Because what was the complaint game after game after game last year? Mentality. That was Danny Cruz's word. We just didn't have the right mentality. He went out and tried to find guys in the offseason who are going to bring that right mentality. So that point you made about his competitiveness, about his fire, about his determination, his drive, that is going to be huge for this team from a leadership perspective, from an on-the-field perspective. We were talking about Ombi, who's going to bring that emotional, fill that emotional gap. Maybe this is one of the guys that fills that competitive gap to drive this team, because there were a lot of guys last year that just didn't seem to want it enough. And this kid seems to really want it. And by the way, in his prime as well, 26 years of age, perfect age to come in and be a leader on this team for the next 4, 5, 6 years, unless he gets an MLS opportunity, which plenty of guys have done off of Louisville City's team. So just a gigantic, massive signing for Louisville City in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, if he's anything less than absolutely like stunning on the field, I'm going to be completely shocked. Like, he's pretty much as sure thing as you can get in as far as like quality performances. So really eager for him.
What other newcomers stand out to you? Who else are you excited to see? Who else were you impressed with in the preseason?
One person I want to talk, and I didn't get to see this individual a ton in preseason, is Sam Gleadle.
Yeah.
Came over from Monterey. One thing that stands out to me, well, two things actually stand out to me, is one, this was a paid transfer.
Yeah.
Now, this is a common thing when you're talking in like the greater soccer context, like European soccer, but within the USL, you don't see a lot of like interleague paid transfers, right? Like usually guys out of contract and you sign them. We went out of our way, paid extra money to get him. That leads me to believe they really saw something in him and they really want to have him. So that piqued my curiosity first and foremost. Second off is that he was largely last season playing more of kind of a winger position, but it's been pretty clearly communicated to me he's going to be an outside back for the team, which he has done before, just not as much. And so he's going to have this, like, I feel like a unique skill set or unique profile come into that position. Obviously, they have enough confidence of his ability due to a defensive job. But with his background kind of being an offensive-oriented role, he's really going to be able to get up and get into the mix. So really eager to see how that looks on the pitch.
Well, remember the last time Danny Cruz did this? He signed a guy that on paper played as an attacking winger, moved him back to fullback, had great success. Manny Perez, a guy that Lou City sold in the offseason to a European team. He went to Denmark, to the first division in Denmark, for on a paid transfer, made some money for the team. So they've got a little roadmap here for Gleadle to follow. Say, hey, you know, you used to be an attacking guy. He talked about he played as a second forward sometimes previously in his career. So it may sound strange to move him back to fullback, but they've got a roadmap of success given what they were able to do with Manny Perez over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and there's also, you know, a few other, we're not going to be able to get to all of them to talk about. We mentioned Taylor Davila. Is it Davila?
Davila.
Okay, I need to get that there. I mean, obviously, really outstanding talent. Like, I did see a good bit of him in the preseason. Outstanding vision. I think he's going to live up to the hype.
Also, real quick, Lou City doing a lot of poaching. They're almost like vultures from the teams that died. San Diego dies, RGV dies. They go and find some of their best players.
I'm going to paraphrase a quote that I heard from John Calipari before, is that Louisville City eats first.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
That was him talking about the like players, high school players going right to the NBA. He's like, I don't care. We're going to get the top talent.
Well, it's true of Lou City. They're the biggest team in the league. They got the best stadium in the league. They got the best fan base in the league. They've got the best facilities in the league, in terms of practice facility, everything. This is where, if you are a USL player, this is the destination. This is where you want to come, which is why last year we talked so much about if this team isn't going to perform, there are going to be guys that want to take your place.
Oh, yeah.
Turned out to be the case in the offseason.
Absolutely. And even you could ask an observer of the league, like, who has no bias, like, where's the premier destination? Like, Louisville City is the complete package.
And it's almost like when you look at the predictions from media people in the preseason, they picked Lou City just almost by default. I mean, I know they had a great offseason bringing in a bunch of talent like we talked about, but it's almost like they picked them by default, regardless of what the team is.
Yeah, and it's almost to the point where probably some of them want to pick somebody other than like Louisville City just to kind of differentiate or keep the conversation fresh. But like from like a full like perspective, like Louisville City is the place to be. And so I think that really kind of helps in the recruiting efforts.
Well, this ties into where I'm going to go. Let's talk about what we're looking for this year, goals this year for the team, what we kind of think will happen. I think Lou City needs to prove that they are the beast of the East again. Finishing fifth place last year, just all around disappointing. Arguably, shouldn't have been in the playoffs. I think the playoffs are too big in the USL, right? Detroit, no sense that they were a playoff team last year, but they made the cut. They made the cut. They scored 26 goals. You don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Too many teams in the playoffs. I think Lou City should have been the last team to make
the
playoffs.
Man, we murdered them in the playoffs.
We did. Lou City did. In my opinion, though, that's obviously I'm the only guy saying that
right now. It is too big of a field.
But the point being, fifth place isn't it for Lou City.
It's not.
Year 10. New guys on the team. I think a top two finish is where they have to finish. That's got to be the goal. That's got to be what they do to reclaim the throne in the Eastern Conference and reassert their presence in the league, that we are, in fact, the biggest team in the league. This is the biggest club in the league. They have all the resources. Now they need to put it on the field and have the success that we expected last year and didn't get.
Yeah, 2022 was an absolutely outstanding season for the team, and I would argue it was the best team in our history, like bar none. Like, just you put them up against any other
version. Just couldn't quite finish with the title.
Exactly. And I think that's also what made last season so painful, right? Like, we thought they were only even going to grow on top of that somehow. That didn't happen. So what needs to happen this year is they need to make it tough for us to make a comparison of best team of all time, right? I want to look back at 2024 as like, wow, that was the best team ever, not 2022.
It certainly got the makings of it. There's enough talent on this team to be best team.
You wouldn't be out of line for guessing that.
One player we haven't mentioned that may be huge for this team this year, Wilson Harris, scored both goals in the preseason finale, was phenomenal in the preseason according to all reports. Cameron Lancaster's gone. He's out of the way. This is Wilson's job to be the star of the team, the guy that scores goals. He's led the team in scoring for 2 years, but last year didn't hit double figures because the team just struggled to score. What do you think we're going to see from Wilson Harris? Is he going to take that next step that the club has seemingly paved the way for? They said, it's your job, Wilson. Take the keys and drive us forward. Will he do it?
Yeah, I mean, for those out there who are Wilson Harris fanboys or fangirls, you're going to be very excited because he's different this year, right? I've heard it from multiple people in the locker room that he just has a different mentality about him, and you're seeing it on the pitch. He's going to have a strong season. I mean, look, we lost Cameron Lancaster this offseason. He signed with Lexington in League One.
What a traitor. I'm just kidding. I mean, good for him, right? It's a move. But, I mean, Lexington, come on. What are you doing?
Hey, we won't play them unless it's the Open Cup. But, right. I mean, in terms of Wilson Harris, though, like they know that you don't have that you know, Cameron Lancaster option to fall back on. Like, there's a lot more weight on his shoulders, and I think he's ready for it.
Lancaster is the all-time leading goal scorer in team history. He scored the winning goal of the first title team. He's been around. He went to Nashville to try to make MLS. He's a guy that just carried a lot of weight in the locker room in terms of his presence. He's gone. I don't know if that was pressure on Wilson Harris. I don't know if it was, you know, weight on his back whenever he got out there to try and prove that he deserved to perform. I don't know how it worked out. But regardless, that whole situation is gone. It's Wilson's job. It'll be interesting to see how successful he is. How do you want to finish? What do you think Lou City does this year? Is it title or bust? Is it Eastern Conference final or bust? Can they make it 10 out of 10, as our texter that texted in said earlier in the show? Can they make it 10 out of 10, go to the Eastern Conference final again this year? And is a title in the works for this team? What do you think?
So, I mean, I think unless we're proven otherwise in terms of their performance, it's always going to be title or bust, right? Like, this team is always a contender, and I don't think there's any reason why we shouldn't be having that conversation. Now, with that said, I'm more interested about how the journey's going to be for them. Last season, again, like, they couldn't put together like a winning streak. They had trouble scoring goals. I want to see something more familiar, like 2022. Long winning streaks, scoring in abundance, like a just completely dominant team. The kind you look at and say, should they be playing in the MLS and not the USL Championship?
A team that's hungry, a team that fights, a team that wants to be out there, that is competitive, that's trying
like
to win every moment. Goes
like a
into
cheat
every
code.
Tackle.
Like, they're just completely
that's
unfair to play.
That's what I
against.
Want to see this year from this team. And I think we might get it based on some of the personalities they brought in the offseason, some of the talent.
El Paso this weekend should be a tough test. They've already played two matches. They're on short rest.
So isn't that wild? They've played twice. We haven't played once.
And we played them in the preseason, too. A lot of weirdness there, but looking forward to it.
3 o'clock on Saturday, you're going to be on the call, correct?
Doing color commentary. Yep, I'll be there.
ESPN 680, 105.7 for that one. We think we'll be back next week. We'll be back most every Thursday over the course of the year. Soccer City on ESPN 680, 105.7. Thanks for joining us. Spence, you did a phenomenal job as our producer.
Thank you.